ETF Prime is hosted by investment advisors at the ETF Store and sponsored by Legg Mason. Legg Mason's sponsorship is not an endorsement nor a recommendation for any product or service. Legg Mason Investor Services LLC is not affiliated with the ETF Store, ETF.com, or any of its affiliates. The ETF Store is not affiliated with ETF.com or any of its affiliates. ETF.com's participation in this program should not be construed as an endorsement or an indication by ETF.com of the value of any ETF Store product or service. This program is for informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice. All investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. The ETF Store owns and is responsible for all program content. Visit ETFstore.com for more information.
Legg Mason is a leading global investment company committed to helping clients reach their financial goals through long-term actively managed strategies. Legg Mason offers a broad range of equity, fixed income, alternative, and cash strategies worldwide. It is comprised of a diverse family of specialized investment managers, each with their own independent approach to research and analysis, and has over a century of experience in identifying opportunities and delivering astute investment solutions to clients. To learn more, please visit leggmason.com.
Now it's time for ETF Prime, where we discuss everything you need to know about exchange-traded funds and the world of investing. Whether you're an investing expert or just starting out, Nate and Jason will help you get up to date on what's happening on Wall Street and show you how exchange-traded funds can help lower your investment costs, reduce your tax bill, and allow you to take advantage of investment opportunities around the world. And now, the host of ETF Prime, Nate Geraci.
Welcome to this very special edition of ETF Prime. As always, I want to thank our exclusive sponsor, Legg Mason. Joining us live and in person this week are Chad Slaughner, U.S. Head of iShares Strategy, and Jeff Spiegel, U.S. Head of iShares Megatrend and International ETFs. I'm really excited about this conversation because we are going to attempt to peer into the future and discuss some of the bigger trends that could shape the way our kids live, how their kids might live. We're really going to consider what the future of our society and global economy might look like. And of course, along with that, there are investment implications here, which we'll certainly get into. Now, Jason, you know me. I can't help myself with a good clip. So we've all seen the movie Back to the Future, right? This was without question one of my favorite movies growing up. And if you remember at the end of that movie, Doc shows up at Marty's house in the DeLorean. Right, so this was after they'd already gone back in time. Let me just play this.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Right, so they blast off into the future, and without being too cliche here, that's our goal this week. We're going to take you into the future. We're going to go where we don't need roads, which, by the way, I feel really old. So Doc set the date on the dashboard in the DeLorean to 2015.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
Right, that was the future they were traveling into, which is simply frightening. That movie was like 35 years ago, though I guess also a good reminder on how quickly the future arrives.
Absolutely. That's such a great clip, though, because it does set up, spoiler alert here, Back to the Future 2, where they do go into the future. So that, for those who, for whatever reason, weren't alive when that movie was made, that's a great movie. So we are going to rub our crystal ball and look at the future and all the investing implications there are.
Yeah, and as it relates to iShares, they've actually identified five what they're calling mega trends. These are five trends they believe are going to shape the world over the next several decades. Along with that, they've also developed a suite of ETFs designed to capture these trends. We're going to get into all of this with Chad and Jeff in just a moment. One other quick point, though, before we do that. Look, we live in a world right now where the news cycle has gone from, a couple of days to 24 hours to now our current situation, which is like a few seconds or less with things like Twitter. And because of that, I do think it's very easy to get lost in this constant barrage of noise, the second-by-second news flow. The problem with that is it then also becomes very easy to lose focus of the broader, longer-term trends playing out. And Jason, you and I were discussing this concept earlier in the week. I'm going to steal your analogy here. I hope you don't mind. You said sometimes we focus too much on the acorn under the leaf, on the branch of the tree in the forest. I love that because I think we're all guilty of that, right? It's easy to get caught up in the 24/7 news cycle and lose sight of the bigger picture. But clearly, and I would say especially in investing, it's good to take a step back and look at the forest. And I guess continuing with your analogy, it's good to maybe think about what that forest might look like in 10, 20, 50 years. That's what we're going to do today.
It is. It's just amazing to think about all of the change that will potentially be coming and some of the ideas that we haven't even thought of yet. You know, I think back to the clip we just played. We don't have flying cars yet, but we do have autonomous driving cars that are being tested right now. And you have to, again, step back from the acorn, look at the forest, and think about the amazing change that will come. If we have autonomous semis hauling, you know, freight around the nation, what will happen to the millions and millions of truck drivers? Will they be displaced? You know, that is some potentially amazingly creative destruction. So there will be some winners and losers. You know, you have to think from an investment standpoint as you consider these megatrends, do the tools and techniques and strategies we use today make sense over the next 20 or 30 or 40 years?
Well, the other aspect that I think is worth mentioning here too is, I made the comment earlier about how quickly the future arrives. Well, along with that, new technologies are being adopted at a faster and faster pace, which then leads to more rapid change. iShares has a great stat that it took electricity 46 years to reach 1/4 of the American population, 35 years for the telephone to do the same, 26 years for the TV, and then listen to this, 4 years for Facebook. Point being that change can happen a lot faster than you might think. Let's now bring in iShares Chad Slaughter and Jeff Spiegel. We're very excited to have them joining us in person this week. Gentlemen, a pleasure having you here. Welcome to Kansas City. Really looking forward to our conversation today.
Excited to be here.
Okay, so I am going to cut right to the chase. This is extremely important. Have both of you enjoyed some Kansas City barbecue yet? Because that's a long-term megatrend that's still intact, and I'm predicting will remain intact for decades to come.
Well, that is how Jeff brought me here, but we haven't had barbecue yet. I think the plan is for tomorrow. Jeff, where are we going?
Jack Stack Fiorella barbecue, but can I say something potentially a little sacrilegious? I've always been really partial to North Carolina barbecue. I really like that vinegary approach, so am I going to do well with Kansas City?
Okay, you're going to spark a huge debate on which barbecue is better, so we're going to have to do that on a different podcast. My recommendation, just for the record, is Q39.
Okay.
So you might put that on the agenda as well. Okay, so why don't we start with some quick introductions. Chad, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about your background, how long you've been with iShares, what your current responsibilities are.
So maybe we'll just go backwards. I've been at iShares for 5 years now. I run the product team here in the United States, which means I have responsibility for developing new products, which obviously we're going to talk about today. And responsibility for how we go about selling many of our existing products. Prior to my role at iShares, I've been at BlackRock, I guess, 6 years. I've been worked in what we call our wealth business, which is serving advisors across the country. And before that, I was a management consultant at McKinsey & Company.
Okay, and then Jeff, give us a quick background as well.
Yeah, so I manage our Megatrend International ETF segment at iShares. I've been at the firm about 6 years. And prior to my time at BlackRock, I was in Bear Stearns and JP Morgan in a bond capacity.
Okay, so we're going to try to cover a lot of ground this week. I think to set the table here, let's start with a backstory on the Megatrend Investing Framework, where this came from, and then we can get into all of the details. So how did this Megatrend concept materialize at BlackRock?
We have what's called the BlackRock Investment Institute, and what the BlackRock Investment Institute does is try and lay out investment themes going forward in terms of what we see in terms of market performance, but also think about the future of investing. And the trends that we've laid out here, the five trends that Jeff will talk us through in a moment or so, came from research that the BlackRock Investment Institute has laid out. And so just trying to get a feel for what's going to happen in the future in terms of the overall society and how it will impact markets and securities.
What about just in terms of the need to head down this path? So when you talk about megatrends, and again, we'll get into the details, but I think about our current traditional sector investing. You think about the GICS sectors, classifications. How did that play a role in this megatrends framework?
Well, we've been getting a lot of demand from clients across the country, whether it be home offices inside the major broker-dealers or some of the independent and RIA firms. A lot of interest in new ways of thinking about how to assemble portfolios. So yes, traditionally we talk about sectors. We actually have a big business in terms of factor investing. But I think there's been a lot of demand over the last few years to try and think about whether you want to call it thematic investing or megatrend investing. A lot of interest in the topic, which actually stems itself from institutional investing, where there is a lot of quote-unquote thematic investing that goes on. So like a lot of what we do in iShares, we're trying to democratize, sophisticated investment out to the wealth arena.
So how is BlackRock defining a megatrend, right? For the layperson, what exactly does this mean? And I think even more important, what separates a megatrend from a fad, so to speak?
So when we think about megatrends, we're talking about long-term transformational forces changing the way we live and work, right? So this is a little bit different from, you know, a sector-type opportunity in that these are going to be structural changes. And we've really identified five of them, right? So, and Chad alluded to this. We've done a lot of work with our BlackRock Investment Institute. One of the great things about being at BlackRock is we've also engaged a lot of amazing external partners, from the World Bank to Google and others, in developing this framework. And so we've really laid out five powerful forces that we think are going to change the world for the long term.
Well, let's walk through those five megatrends. And maybe the best way to do this is you can tell us what the five megatrends are, and then we can walk through each in a bit more detail. So what are the five trends?
Great. So the first is technological breakthrough. The second, demographics and social change, rapid urbanization, climate change and resource scarcity, and emerging global wealth.
Okay, so let's start with technological breakthrough.
So here we really position the most pure play opportunities in technology, right? If we think about innovation in the future, really tech's going to play a role in every single one of our five megatrends. But the most pure opportunities like robotics, like cybersecurity, like 3D printing, those types of opportunities are going to sit in this bucket specifically.
Okay. And then second was demographics.
And social change. Yeah. And that's really about kind of two megatrends rolled into one. So one angle. So fundamentally, that's about aging. Right. So in the United States, in the next 10 years, there'll be more people over 65 than under 18. Right. More grandparents than grandchildren. And that creates two types of opportunities. One is increased healthcare spending and demand for medical breakthroughs. And the other is really a divergence in spending. You've got silver spending retirees. And then you've got sort of experience focused, digital economy focused Gen Zers and millennials.
Okay, number three, rapid urbanization.
Yeah, it's the rise of megacities in the emerging world. Practically overnight, you can have a city come from nothing to a million people in China or India. There's the revitalization of megacities in the developed world, in the U.S., in Japan, in Europe, where we need massive investment in our infrastructure.
Climate change and resource scarcity.
Yes, you might be familiar with sustainable investing, and we draw a distinction here. So what we're talking about really is what a company does. They're in the business of electric vehicles or hydroelectric power, solar panels. They manufacture these types of solutions versus a more sustainable approach, which isn't necessarily being in the business of climate change and resource scarcity, but is having a sustainable footprint in whatever business you're in. This is a nice intersection between doing good and doing well in the types of products we offer.
Okay, and the fifth then was emerging global wealth.
Yeah, and that's just about the rise of middle-class consumers in the emerging world, right? 1 to 2 billion people in the next 10 years or so who are going to have disposable income for the first time and are living and spending differently than what we've seen in the developed world historically.
You mentioned this earlier, but the first megatrend, technological breakthrough, really technology threads through all of the other megatrends. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So if you're talking about demographics and social change, something like genomics or immunology, where we offer an ETF, that's really going to be a lot of med tech innovation and breakthroughs. Similarly, in climate change and resource scarcity, we would position our self-driving and electric vehicles product. And that's ultimately fundamentally about technology, but really also going to drive great climate solutions and progress for the world. So I wouldn't say that we would pigeonhole the products and themes to a single megatrend. We just sort of put them in their primary category. But the most powerful enduring themes are going to be driven by multiple megatrends at the same time.
Going back to the question I had earlier on what separates a megatrend from a fad, I'm curious, is these megatrends were being developed, was there something that was left on the cutting board, right? So as we identified these five, was there a sixth, a seventh, an eighth that did not make it?
I wouldn't say that. So I think the five are pretty all-encompassing. There wasn't a lot of debate about additional, but the themes, right, what really underlie each of the megatrend, that's where there's probably still a lot on the table. And the reason for that, one, is there's only so many products that can be developed at one time. But more than that, not all of the most exciting themes out there today are investable. just because it's long-term, just because it's transformational, doesn't mean that it's a great investment, that you can get pure play exposure to it and build a diversified ETF. And BlackRock, we're really committed to not putting out products unless we think they're investable and we can access the full value chain.
Jeff, when we talk about the five megatrends, are these written in stone now, or do they evolve and grow and change as new ideas, technologies, and things, you know, in our world change?
They're not written in stone, but they are meant to be long term. So we don't expect them to change in the short term, call it the 1 to 2 to 3 year period, but we do review them annually. And as innovation moves faster and faster, we do expect they'll change and evolve over time.
Okay, so let's now pivot and talk about the iShares ETFs designed to capture these mega trends. First, how many ETFs are included in this suite?
10 products.
Okay. And obviously, we're not going to get to all 10, but let's maybe walk through a couple of good examples of the ETFs in this lineup to tell us how they're specifically designed and how they capture a particular megatrend.
Absolutely. So when you think about megatrend ETFs, what we offer at BlackRock, these kind of sit somewhere along the spectrum between traditional index management and active management. And what I mean by that is we take a really sophisticated approach to capture the full value chain in question for an ETF. So if you're thinking about something like self-driving and electric vehicles, iDrive is our ticker. Obviously, you're going to want a company like Tesla, that's a big electric vehicle manufacturer. You probably want BYD, which is sort of the Tesla of China, so to speak. But then you really have to go a step further. You want the folks who are making the sensors that let autonomous vehicles get around. You want the folks who are making the batteries that power electric vehicles, and even the lithium miners, right, who are putting the underlying components into those batteries, and then the folks building the charging infrastructure and the like. And to capture that complicated value chain, we take generally one of two approaches. Sometimes it's a fundamental research type approach where we'll partner with a great index provider like Morningstar, like S&P, and use their fundamental research analysts to assess exposure to the theme in question. And sometimes we'll use a heavily data-driven approach with our partners at NYSE FactSet, where we take a very granular sub-industry classification and apply algorithmic data tests to ensure that we think the companies are associated with the theme. That sounds like active management, a fundamental or a scientific approach, but we're not trying to pick winners. We're trying to find firms that are most exposed to the theme and that will grow with it.
Well, what's interesting about that, too, is you are taking this cross-industry investment approach. And I think electric driving or self-driving is very, it's a perfect example, right? Because you're trying to capture the entire value chain. You want to own Tesla. You want to own self-driving tech software, the battery producer, so on and so forth. How does that compare to the current state of affairs where we talked earlier about the GIC sector classifications, some of the shortcomings there in being able to access these opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's nothing wrong with GIC sectors in and of themselves, but if you want to be thoughtful about a more narrow theme, particularly one that's driven by innovation, then you just have to be thinking across sectors. And sectors can be great for a cyclical type investment opportunity where you want to get broad exposure to something you think will grow in the short term. But if you want long-term growth and you want the entire ecosystem of a theme, you have to think globally and you have to think cross-sector.
Okay, and that ETF again, that was iDrive. That's the iShares self-driving EV and tech ETF.
That's correct? Right, iDRV. Yes.
Okay, what's maybe another example of an ETF under the Megatrends lineup?
Another example, and we've had a ton of demand for it and a ton of great conversations and interest in it, is iDNA, iShares Genomics and Immunology ETF. And again, this really sits at that intersection of technological breakthrough as well as demographics and social change. And for this product, we're looking at genomics, which is fundamentally about engaging with a person's own DNA to tailor medical solutions,
like
to the
personalized
individual.
Medicine is what you're
spot on. Personalized medicine for the individual, and then immunology, and specifically immunotherapy, which is similar in that you're actually stimulating a person's immune system to fight disease. And that's had a ton of success in cancer treatments lately. And on the genomic side, you know, the cost of mapping the human genome has dropped 99.9%. in roughly the last 10 years, from millions of dollars to basically $1,000. And that change has really made the ability to do that personalized medicine for the individual. And so we see those as two of the most exciting areas in medical breakthroughs. And this ETF gives you the opportunity to access them in a narrow, focused way across the value chain.
Can you talk more about how demographics impacts the investment opportunity here? So we do know people are living longer. But also, I think if you look at younger generations, they're much more concerned about their health, than maybe past generations were. How does that play into the investment theme here?
Yeah, so I mean, I think in demographics and social change, you have that second component, right, which is, you know, increasingly we see forces driving the megatrends like consumer behaviors, people who are willing to invest in fitness, right, who are willing to invest in wellness, to pay more for the type of product that might have a higher cost associated with it, but is going to make them feel better about the way they live and hopefully extend their life at the same time.
Okay, another ETF that caught my attention was the iShares Exponential Technologies ETF, ticker XT. Tell us a little bit more about that one.
Yeah, XT is a little bit different than the rest of the lineup. It's a great exposure, $2.5 billion. It's been hugely popular and out for a number of years. Whereas iDrive and iDNA are more focused themes, XT really covers nine of the most important areas in technological breakthrough, right? So that ranges from data to networks to bioinformatics, 3D printing, nanotechnology, and more. So that's that one-stop shop type of solution for someone who wants to get exposure to tech breakthrough broadly, and it uses that fundamental research approach I talked about to determine what firms are leaders and associated with each theme.
Just out of curiosity, I know you can't talk about specific filings, and I certainly don't expect you to talk about what's on the drawing board at the iShares headquarters, but can you give us a sense as to how you will approach future ETF launches under this suite?
Well, I think we're always in the process of doing research, so I think we're going to stick with these themes. As we mentioned before, we have five themes that we're moving forward with. We are always in the process of looking for identifiable opportunities. Partly some of this is client-driven, so as we go out now and discuss these 10 products out with clients, we're going to get some feedback about exposures that might be interesting to new folks. So maybe it's around under the food, or under the demographic and social change, maybe there will be something about food or health around that area. As we talk about climate and resource scarcity, there might be interest in other products. So some of this will be driven by client and some of the conversations we have, but also much of it will be driven by research and our ability to build actual ETFs around them. Not every opportunity is actually can be constructed as an ETF.
And at the end of the day, it's really easy to put a great ticker and a great name on a product. And I can't stress this enough. We only, as BlackRock, given the size of our business, given our commitment to being a fiduciary, are only going to put out those products, not because they're cool and exciting, but because we can build them and really do some good for our clients and giving them access to the theme in question.
Okay, so on that topic, I have the perfect area to discuss. I have to ask you about blockchain and cryptocurrency. So I know last year, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink came out and said, not to expect an iShares Bitcoin ETF anytime soon. So I'm not going to pin you down on that. But I am curious, is the blockchain space represented anywhere within the megatrends suite, or any other just broad thoughts on the crypto space as a whole?
Yeah, so I think blockchain is an incredibly exciting technology. It's one that BlackRock is investing in as a firm, right, to help our own business when you think about distributed ledger technology. And then within the megatrend suite, getting back to XT, one of the really important components of that product is fintech. So you're going to have blockchain exposure as part of that. And without getting into too much detail about our product development ideas, we're certainly talking about how we can incorporate blockchain into future exposures that might focus on financial technology.
What about 5G mobile technology? So there have been some ETFs that have launched that have seen some success around this space. Is that reflected anywhere within the megatrends suite?
On that one, I'm gonna plead the fifth, but coming soon to a ETF purveyor near you.
Okay, so I want to go back and ask about robotics and automation. There's been a lot of debate over what this will mean for the future of jobs in this country. So as an example, currently one of the largest occupations in the U.S. is truck drivers. So if we get self-driving trucks, what does that mean for jobs? And of course, we can play this out with other occupations and in other areas as well. But, you know, as we look at these themes, obviously we can see the positives. It's exciting to look at the future. But I think there's also, for some people, there's a scare or a fear in how this plays out as well. Any thoughts?
Yeah, listen, technological change has its pluses and minuses. It's disruptive in terms of how it changes the way people live. It can be disruptive in terms of labor markets too. So I think part of what we have to do as a society is find a way to, whether it be retraining or other ways to create opportunities for people who might be dislocated. But I think, yes, and there's no question that there'll be some changes, but that also creates new opportunities, whether it be servicing those vehicles might be different than driving those vehicles. Those vehicles will require servicing, for example, in a way that was going to be very different than one that's manned by a driver today.
We're joined this week by iShares' Chad Slaughner and Jeff Spiegel. We're walking through their Megatrends lineup of ETFs. So how do you see these ETFs fitting in an investor's portfolio? What do you view as their role?
So we view these exposures or these ETFs as alpha-seeking or and a way to beat the market and as an opportunity, but we don't see them as what we would say core to an investor's portfolio. We see them as representing, let's call it a single digit, up to 10% of an investor's equity allocation. We see them in a sense as a replacement for either what an investor might otherwise put in an active mutual fund, seeking through a technology fund, for example, or instead of instead of buying a single stock. So what traditionally investors have done, and frankly what I have done in the past when I wanted to play a theme, was pick a stock, find a stock that I thought was related to the theme. You could do well, you could have hit Amazon, but you also could have hit Toys R Us, right? So the idea here is to diversify against a theme you know to be growing over the next 10, 20 years, but do it in a responsible way that allow you to actually harvest that return and not take a huge bet on a single company or a single management team.
Something else I think is interesting here is these megatrend ETFs can allow you to access exposure to some of these companies earlier. And I think there's a stat on the iShares website that it took Netflix more than 8 years after IPO to be included in the S&P 500. You can look at something like Tesla, not in the S&P. Talk about that, about the inclusion of these disruptive companies within these megatrend indexes that perhaps an investor is not going to have in their core allocation.
So I think what's really neat about these ETFs is they're reconstituted annually, right? So any new IPOs that have come out that are going to meet requirements are able to be added to the ETF on a once-a-year basis, which is really exciting, and we certainly do that. But more than that, for most of these products, we've worked on a one-on-one basis with the index provider to develop a bespoke methodology, often exclusive to iShares. And so what that means is at the end of every year, we can actually look at an individual theme and how it's evolving and make changes to the index methodology in partnership with the index provider to make sure we're talking about the most disruptive and exciting areas of the themes, which are moving quickly and evolving quickly, which is what we expect in an innovative space.
And part of the way we've built these products is we don't know whether the big companies that are investing in this space are going to win in some of these areas. We talked about autonomous driving before. We don't know whether it's going to be a car company that's going to win or, frankly, a super small software company that's going to win. But what the products that we've done, we built them from large cap all the way to small or even, small cap, I would say. This allows the investor to actually be pretty certain that they're going to capture the winner and actually grow with the winner and not take a huge bet on whether you invest in a small cap growth companies or large cap growth and value companies and have an idea of who's going to be a winner in the space.
And we take a really thoughtful approach to methodology on that point, just to dig a little bit deeper. The weighting scheme matters, right? So at BlackRock, we really take a flexible approach to these products. Do we use that fundamental research approach? Do we use that data-driven approach? Do we weight the product in a way that, we think an industry in question is winner-take-all, and you want to let those big names grow? Or in the type of field where disruption is going to be happening constantly, and you want those smaller names better represented. But pretty much across the board, you're going to see more of an overweight to the SMID-type names, because that's where a lot of disruption and innovation is happening. And you don't want a product that's just fundamentally dominated by big cap names like Amazon, like Apple, like Google.
So would you say that while you're agnostic to the size, by the way the data falls, you're going to be somewhere in the mid cap? I mean, at the end of the day, between the smaller and the larger companies, that's about where it's going to be?
So you're going to have large cap, mid cap, and small cap companies incorporated. But if you had cap weighted those companies, the large companies would be most of the portfolios. Instead, when we take these more thoughtful weighting approaches, what you're going to see is the small cap and the mid cap names are larger. So if you take an equal weight approach, for example, and you have 100 names, each one's going to have 1%. It doesn't matter if they're Google or the smallest company in the index. And so that leaves the small and the mid names to be better represented in the portfolio and better opportunities for growth when they really take off.
Just to follow up on that, are there any considerations or problems with capacity? You are going to have exposure to smaller and mid-cap companies. Are there challenges in getting as much as you want?
So when we think about that, we work with the index provider always within our rules-based methodology to have minimum average daily volume requirements for the stocks that are included, as well as market cap requirements for the stocks that are included. So we want these ETFs to trade efficiently as our entire iShares suite. And so we're really thoughtful about what the smallest name we'll include in a portfolio is.
Yeah, we work with our architecture engineering team to make sure we're going to have enough supply of the the exposures that we're looking for. They're reasonably traded and have the kind of fundamentals that we need to build the products around.
Going back to how investors utilize these ETFs in a portfolio, something that we spend a lot of time focusing on is investor behavior. And because these ETFs attempt to capture much longer term trends, do you think that can make them easier for investors to stick with? Just because if you're trying to capture longer term trends, you shouldn't be reacting to the day-to-day headlines, right? You never should be. I just wonder if perhaps it's easier to avoid overreacting with something like these ETFs because you know you're focusing on a longer term trend.
Yeah, we know from behavioral economics or behavioral finance that actually investors sometimes make bad choices. They buy they buy high, sell low. I think one of the things about these products that we've seen from advisors, and part of the reason we got original feedback to build some of these things, is investors do better when they have conviction around a theme or conviction around a trend. They'll stay invested for longer. They have real belief in what they're investing in or a way to ride out, whether it be a tough few weeks or a few months or even a year in the market. So, yes, I think that is part of the underlying premise here, that we think we're going to get better investor behavior and what at the end of the day fulfill the BlackRock mission, which build better financial futures, and by generating some of the positive benefits from behavioral finance and have people stay invested for longer and with the conviction they have in these investments.
Well, and to dovetail on your point in talking about investor interest around these, it's interesting. We hear from investors all the time who will bring up certain themes. So robotics, cybersecurity, whatever, they want to invest in these. And our general thought process has been, if investing a small allocation in one of these themes will help keep them invested in the other 95% of their globally diversified portfolio, that's a big win behaviorally. And the investor feels good, right? They get their quote-unquote cocktail party investment. Do you think there's something to that?
I do think there's something to that. I also think there's something to the conversation that advisors are having with their clients as well. I think clients like to come and have these conversations. I think advisors like to talk to clients about these conversations. So I think not only does it make for, better investor behavior and conviction around their investments, but also better relationships between advisors and their clients.
Okay, so we have spent a lot of time talking positives here. I did ask you about the robotics and automation and what that means for jobs. And look, it's good that we're focusing on the positives. We are talking about the future. But just playing devil's advocate from an investment standpoint, a lot of these future growth stories, so self-driving cars, robotics, the growth of the consumer in emerging markets, these are all pretty intuitive, at least from my perspective, right? These aren't big surprises. So from an investment standpoint, if everyone already knows about these things, is the growth opportunity still there or is it already, quote unquote, priced in?
Yeah, so I mean, Chad alluded to the Amazon versus eToys or Toys R Us type of difference. Everyone saw e-commerce coming in the late 90s, right? That wasn't a mystery. You didn't have to be a really sophisticated investor to see that trend on its way. Maybe you bought Amazon. If you did, you had almost a 2,000% return from the late 90s to today. Or maybe you bought eToys, which was actually outperforming Amazon in the late 90s, right? One sold books, one sold toys. Who's going to win? I don't know. eToys went out of business, right? And you had that great return from Amazon. On the other hand, some folks would say, you want to invest in technology broadly. You want to get that broad exposure. You don't need to try and pick individual themes. If you'd invested in the NASDAQ Composite Index over that time period, you have had roughly a 300% return. Pretty respectable, to be sure. But if you had taken a megatrend approach, if you had invested in MSCI's e-commerce index, you would have had nearly a 2,000% return. So clearly that wasn't overbought in the late 90s. But people who were trying to play that trend didn't necessarily benefit because they might have tried to pick a single stock or they might have taken an approach that was so broad that they got e-commerce, but that was 5%, of the exposure that they were taking.
So I think your point is, or at least one of them, is that spotting the trend may be easy, but picking the individual winners is obviously much more difficult.
Spot on. I could not have said it better.
Okay. Are there any other risks that you think investors should be aware of outside of the obvious, right? That with these megatrends, we're looking 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road.
I think Chad already talked about it. These are amazing, exciting opportunities. They should not be your entire portfolio. We want folks to have a balanced portfolio that's really going to take them through the long run. But these should have a healthy portion of the portfolio, can keep people invested, and can drive those outside returns. So I'd say Don't get too excited.
Okay, so on that note, I'll close with this, and I'm going to ask each of you this question. I'd love to hear which mega trend most excite you? And if you want to get more granular, that's fine as well, just in terms of specific technologies or innovations that have your attention. What do you find most exciting? And Chad, let's start with you. And also, let me be clear, this is not an investment recommendation.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I don't want to get me in trouble with compliance back home. I think that the products that get me excited are really around infrastructure investment. I trained as an economist, so I kind of look at big long-term supply-side macro shocks or macro events that are going to drive the economy. So I look at what we talked about at the beginning, the big changes in rapid urbanization, and just see that that change going on. So I am most excited about our three products that support infrastructure change, whether it be globally in emerging markets or even, frankly, inside the United States, where I think there's going to be a need for and demand for a lot of infrastructure investment.
And Chad, we've talked about this at length, but as you pointed out earlier, $100 trillion of infrastructure investment, right, mm-hmm. expected just in the next few years. That's mind-boggling.
Well, and I think I saw a stat, too, that the top 50 cities account for 8% of the global population and 21% of the world's GDP, which just is remarkable. And then you add to that, again, the expected infrastructure spending.
And more every year.
Let me toss in my idea. I'm really partial to the demographic themes. I have aging parents, and mm-hmm. so I see firsthand where they spend their money, the issues, and obviously the themes are interwoven, because then the technology and the healthcare, you know, it all comes together. So to me, this aging world that we live in is really interesting.
And when we're traveling the country talking to financial advisors, personal investor platforms, that one resonates so much, right? So many of the financial advisors' clients are in retirement. They're so focused
on the
longevity.
Baby boomer generation. It's this big bubble, and you know where they're at, 50s, 60s, 70s. It's just right in front of us.
Yeah, they're reading about these topics. They're excited about these topics. Giving them the opportunity to invest is a great conversation to have with them and a great piece of their portfolio.
Jeff, anything else standing out to you?
Yeah, I'm partial to climate change and resource scarcity. You know, I'll admit it, nobody can see me here or how old I am, but I'm a millennial. And those of us who are in that cohort often want to be able to do good with our investments. But I think what's neat about climate change and resource scarcity, as I said earlier, is it's also a way to do well, right? So you're investing in companies that have explosive growth potential because they're involved, for example, in iClean, ICLN, our ETF, all of the areas of innovation and clean energy, which is set to represent 3/4 of energy investment going forward, and is being driven by consumer preferences and government regulation. They're just making clean energy happen faster and faster. So you can feel good about investing in something like iClean because you're investing in the future and reducing our carbon emissions, but you can also grow as that market really takes off.
And that's a need that's just, I mean, it's paramount in society today, so you could just, you see it in a lot of both policy and, frankly, in innovation. And we're going to have to innovate our way out of some of these challenges. So I think that's a great theme.
Well, and I think that's a perfect ending point. Chad, Jeff, really enjoyed the conversation today. Congratulations on the launch of this Megatrend suite. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having us. I'll let you know if Kansas City can beat North Carolina barbecue.
I was going to say, right. Yeah, thank you very much.
That was Chad Slaughner, U.S. Head of iShares Strategy, and Jeff Spiegel, U.S. Head of iShares Megatrend and International ETFs. That'll do it for this special edition of ETF Prime. I want to thank our exclusive sponsor, Legg Mason. You can visit leggmason.com to learn more about their broad range of investment strategies. If you enjoyed this week's podcast, we would greatly appreciate it if you could drop us a quick review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other listeners find our show. And of course, you can send us comments on Twitter @ETF Prime. Thank you for joining us.